Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. This is Jody Lowe with the Leadership Lowdown, powered by You and Improved and Conscious Capitalism Arizona. Leadership Lowdown is a radio series dedicated to shining a spotlight on Valley business leaders and sharing the real stories behind their rise to the top. We're here to uncover the truth about what it takes to truly succeed in life and in business and uncover these leaders' journeys, whether it's the pitfalls or the victories or the heartaches, whatever comes with the whole ball of being a business owner and a CEO in today's market. So today I am thrilled to be sitting across from two dynamic, amazing leaders and individuals, and I would love to say friends, Mr. Jonathan Kaiser of Kaiser Commercial Real Estate. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Jenny Poon, founder of Cohoots Co-working Space. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so happy to have you both here. And to start us off, really the whole premise, like I said, of the Leadership Lowdown is to share your stories. And I know you both really exemplify leadership at the pinnacle, whether that's if you look at it as servant leadership or just the right way to do business. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about how did this all start and the whole stories behind it. So, well, I don't even know. You guys flip a coin. Who should we start with?
Oh, man.
Okay, ladies first. Yeah, we'll start with you, Jenny. Tell us a little bit about how it all started.
I'll try to make it brief. I've started a few different companies. In 2008, I was at the Arizona Republic as art director for a magazine called AZ Magazine. And the recession was kind of in full swing by then. So I was seeing the writing on the wall. There were tons of layoffs. They cut the entire department down to just my one magazine. All of the magazines got cut and killed. And then mine was the last survived. And then they told me I was cut to part-time. And that's when I knew, like, okay, I got to get something else going. So I started my own design company. And very quickly grew that, had a lot of clients, started to look at how do I grow this, was looking at hiring. Interns were asking to work with me. And I was like, okay, like, let's just see where
this
goes.
Here we go, yeah.
But in my time of working, I was working from home. And so these interns would come to my house and it started to get a little bit crazy because they would come. And, you know, like when you're starting a business, the best part of it is having your own schedule. And so midday, I'd be like, I'm going to go take a nap and then just go to the next room. And so these interns, it just wasn't a very good work environment. So I started looking at physical spaces. And around that time, I didn't know Jonathan. So I found some kind of broker. And the options that I was given was a Regis space, which is literally like a closet with no windows. And coming from a design background that's always inspired by my surroundings, that just wouldn't really work. And if I wanted a closet, I had a closet at home and I could always continue doing that. And then I looked, the other option was like 1,000 square foot space around town. And that was just too big for what I needed. And then the third piece that I really wanted was to be around really awesome, smart people that were smarter than I was. And I was already surrounded by interns and people that I was guiding, but I needed to be around people that were, you know, pushing me forward.
Sure.
And so I was looking for a solution that was specifically for those problems. And co-working did not exist in Phoenix or wasn't very prevalent around the nation yet. And so I decided to, one, find a way to lower my risk if I was going to find an office space. And so the solution was a shared workspace. And so that's what it started as, was a shared workspace. But as I got in the room with these, originally, it was five other companies, and it was a PR company, it was a web development company, a web designer, a photographer, and a writer. We all got in a room together, and we just found that we were so compatible with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also found that in the middle of the recession, that these big companies that were looking for agencies to work with them would not give us the light of day because we were all so small individually. But when we came together, we could pitch to some of these bigger clients and potentially win them. And from there, it just kind of took off. They would come and reach out to me if they needed any kind of design help, if I needed web help. I really learned how to build websites through working around these really awesome people. And then we built programming and we realized, oh my gosh, like there's this huge community that needs this, especially in the middle of the recession when everybody was getting laid off or leaving their jobs. And I think around that year was the year that Arizona was ranked top. Our Phoenix was ranked top like startup city because all these people had been let go here and then
right.
They were all starting jobs. And so we looked at how do we grow this thing and serve this population? And really just along the way, listened to our customers and started building programming and solutions for everything that they needed. So we launched Lunch and Learns to help the masses that needed to scale. We host advisement days. We launched our nonprofit arm to help a lot of people that are from the underrepresented population to get into entrepreneurship. And so it just kind of keeps moving. I think that's what's great about my life is like whenever there's a little problem that pops up, I can very easily shift and see how I can focus on solving that.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so for you, obviously starting something that really didn't even exist here at that time to going to one of the top, if I understand correctly, wasn't Inc.com ranked you like one of the top co-working spaces in the nation?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Inc.com last year ranked us one of the top. I think we were ranked number 4, but behind WeWork, which is $1 billion evaluated company, and Regis, which also has tons. We're the only one in the top 5 that has one location. So
Amazing. It's
a big thing for Phoenix.
Absolutely.
I think, and for us.
You're such a prominent fixture in this market, and thank you for all that you do with that, because the way that you not only lead, but the way that you give back. And tell us a little bit about the early days, because clearly when you start something that's not only a new business, but a whole kind of new concept to the Valley, what was the biggest, I guess, obstacle that you had to overcome in those early days?
I think just being really creative with how we were going to solve this, because none of this was traditional, because there was no path ahead of us. Yeah. So the very first place we went into, the landlord said, I want a 5-year lease and I want first month and last month, and like a very traditional structure. And we're like, we don't have that, but how about we try to work out some kind of partnership? Mm-hmm. So the first space we just said, and I'm glad that it actually turned out this way. I said, you can own this entire concept. I just want really a free place for my company to work and I'll help manage it. Well, 3 months into it, he was like, never mind, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, get out or sign a normal lease. And we had already had 5 people, and I believed enough in the idea, and he gave us enough run room at that point to, like, we were on the cusp of something big and he just didn't see it. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I'm out, even though I built everything and designed it and branded it and promoted it and started to build the groundwork. It was perfectly fine for him to exit. And so we did go into a normal lease structure on a year-to-year. And then immediately after, it kind of went gangbusters, and like the room filled up with a ton of people. And then that led to some other challenges where he came in and he was like, oh crap, I made a bad decision here, and started to try to change like the deal and like threatened to take over.
Never happens
concept.
In commercial real estate.
Oh, no, never.
Never. I've never heard of that before. How crazy.
It was fun. Like, if we're talking honestly, yeah, that was one of those. There's so many times where we were just like, this is the end of us, right?
Then
somehow luck has it, or good vibes. I don't usually believe in that kind of stuff, but something magical happens and like the path opens and this tiny little path happens and we tiptoe through it and we keep moving.
That's incredible. And now working on location 2 in Mesa?
Now we're working on location 2, expanding to Mesa, and then potentially expanding nationally is the goal.
Incredible.
And then we just launched like an incubator arm to us, which is about helping the people who are just dipping their toes into entrepreneurship to like quickly launch. Mm-hmm, because I think we all know how much your business changes throughout even just the first month, that getting stuck in those really early stages of incorporation and what does your website look like? What does your logo look like? How do your business cards look like? All of those things are such little problems that the faster you can get through it and really focus on like who your customer is, what the problem is, how do you make money, the better.
Well, and when I saw that, actually, we were talking about this at an event recently. When I saw that, I thought, oh my gosh, is that just so perfect? Because how many folks could just jump in and get everything done that they don't know how to do and just have this great resource of, you know, help me solve this and be able to move on to the important business of business. Yeah. So good for you. And now for you, and I know you're actually both parents. So I know that that's always a big question. I know I get asked it. I'm sure you do too. How do you run a company and take care of your kiddo or kiddos in your case, Jonathan, with 4? How do you manage it all? How do you balance it
all? I'm going to let Jonathan answer that first because I get that all the time.
Okay, so I'll put a pause button. Let's jump over to Jonathan then because... So tell us a little bit real quick about, Kaiser. I can't even say real quick because Kaiser is such an entity. I mean, we are looking at becoming a $1 billion firm.
Yes.
Craziness.
Well, and first,
you want to buy Cahoots?
It's just an honor to be in the room with Jenny. I mean, she's such a local example of selfless leadership.
Yep.
And you do so much in the community. And it's just cool to watch you and root for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Like, I love watching from afar. And you don't toot your own horn very much, but you know,
she's
for all those listening, she's a powerhouse.
Absolutely.
And we're very, very honored to have her in Arizona building this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's not easy to get on that ink list. So.
Yeah. It's huge.
Congrats to you.
Thank you.
She's a rock star.
And keep it up. Don't stop. And don't move.
Yeah. Keep going.
Don't
keep
leave
going.
Arizona.
Absolutely.
So my story is a little bit of a different one where I was a missionary kid. You know, I just had this really neat experience this last weekend where my grandfather translated the Bible into Apache. He moved my mom's family out to the Indian community in San Carlos here in Arizona. And this last weekend, so they adopted two Native American children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have an uncle and an aunt that are Apaches. And my uncle got remarried this last weekend. And so we had the opportunity to go and have a traditional Apache wedding on the reservation. And it was one of the cool, I got chills even talking about it. It was one of the coolest experiences. And as part of that, I got to go visit the church that my grandfather started, and it's still going.
Oh my God. It
was so unbelievable. I got up and I had that's where my parents were married, and I had them recommit their vows there with me leading it. It was the neatest experience. But so that's how I was raised. I was raised with like this really, really heavy Christian background, but we were very poor.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated being poor. I wanted to be successful. I wanted to make money. I saw all the things that other people had, and I wanted those. And so I went to UCLA for school. I was going to be an attorney, but my favorite professor talked me out of it. I stumbled into commercial real estate because a buddy of mine said I'd do good at it. And as soon as I got into commercial real estate, I realized really quickly, wow, this is a ruthless industry. To our joke earlier, mm-hmm. I don't think there's anybody in the world that would say, my top most trusted person in the world. I'm going to say my commercial real estate broker. It's laughable, right?
It's got to be them.
And so because it's laughable, it's indicative of an underlying problem. That underlying problem is that it is a culture. When you talk about industry-wide, it's a culture of ruthless, predatorial, dog-eat-dog behavior. And I think there's a lot of people that wish it wasn't, but they feel trapped. And that's how it was for me. When I got in, I said, okay, if this is the game, I'm going to play the game and I'm going to win because I'm sick of being broke.
Mm-hmm.
That whole missionary thing did not work out too well for me. I want more than that. And so I became ruthless, and that's what my book's about, right? It's describing my journey from being ruthless, thinking that was the only way, and then stumbling across a concept 13 years ago about how I could be successful in our industry by just helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a radical concept for me at the time. It sounded like it was my parents speaking to me.
Sure.
But I didn't think it was possible. And so I reinvented myself around that long, hard road. But on the other side of it, I started having extraordinary success, and now we've built a firm around this philosophy, this ideology of changing the commercial real estate industry through selfless service and proving that you don't have to be ruthless to win. I mean, I think everybody in their soul knows, hey, I know it's a good thing to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a good thing to do the right thing. I know I probably should tell the truth and all those types of things. But then in the moment, when the rubber meets the road and you got money on the line and everybody else is behaving that way, mm-hmm. and you feel like if I don't do that, I'm going to be trampled. And that's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
So I reacted. Now I'm not proud of that, but because I've been through it, I can empathize with all the people that did it. And so as I discovered a different way, I said, man, if I could scale this, if I could prove that this isn't an anomaly, that it wasn't just me that this is possible for, that this is something that others could learn and I could train them, wow, how cool would that be? How cool if we had an industry that focused on pushing as much value across the table as possible and acting with integrity and love and service? Like, how cool would that be? And so I had an epiphany moment in 2012 and decided, screw it. If nobody else is going to do it, I better do it. And so I launched my firm, and now we're the largest firm of our kind in the state, largest tenant firm. We only represent the corporate user, so mm-hmm. we don't represent landlords and developers. We eliminate the conflict that's inherent in that. And we have big, bold visions. So I'm working right now on trying to find a COO that's taking a company from where we're at today to $1 billion and looking to go into all the major markets, starting an institute to train others how to do this kind of service in cultures within whatever culture is there within.
Can you give me any of your rejects?
What's that?
We're going to be fighting for the same people.
Oh, man. It's hard. I mean, it's a tight labor market right now. Yeah. But, you know, I'm really looking for the needle in the haystack, someone that could really take what we've built and operationalize it and take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest initiative that I'm working on. So to answer your question, you know, for me, selfless service is it's not only a way of being. It's not only a cultural thing for me and for the firm, but it is who we are.
Yep.
Right? It is what differentiates us from the entire competitive landscape.
Yep.
You know, we have a culture where everybody helps each other, and that is so unheard of in our space. And so for me, it's like, this is a mission. This is a mission that we're thrilled to be a part of. So when we get up in the morning, it's not just about making a buck. It's not just about doing a real estate deal. It's about how can we push so much value across the table that they have such an extraordinary experience that then they go and tell all their friends.
Right.
And so for me, this whole idea of selfless service, this whole idea of selfless leadership or servant leadership or whatever you want to call it, I think a lot of people have this idea that it's nice and it's a good thing to talk about and it feels good, but it's really not that effective. I have the exact opposite opinion. Mm-hmm. I believe that the more selfless you are in leadership, the more people want to be a part of you, the more people want to help you back. Mm-hmm. And so it creates this extraordinary experience in business of everybody trying to help each other and everybody mm-hmm. winning. Mm-hmm. And that for me is the cool part.
Yep.
And so I think that selfless service is actually selfish. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually in one's best interest.
Absolutely.
To be selfless mm-hmm. and to try to help others succeed. And then they try to help you succeed.
Absolutely.
And so that's our whole business model. And by doing it in commercial real estate brokerage, the ultimate goal is we're proving it in probably the most ruthless or one of the most ruthless industries in the world. Mm-hmm. So once we scale this and show it's possible in a large scale.
Where else? Yeah.
And what are the other industries that have a similar culture, similar environment that could use us as those crazy people could do it in commercial real estate brokerage. I know I could do it in blank.
Right.
And so the ultimate vision is to change the world. And the ultimate vision is to prove that all the stuff that we teach our kids and all the stuff that we talk about with our families and in our personal groups, that if you translate that same love and selfless service into business, that over the long game, you can have extraordinary success.
Absolutely.
And Jenny is the perfect example of that.
Yes, absolutely.
Truly.
And I think they could use some love in Washington right now.
Yeah, they could. Yeah. A lot of it. Let's get some hugs going
exactly.
on. Come on.
Can people. We all just have a group hugging? Really? Come on now. So you mentioned that there was this big shift, this big epiphany. Was it someone, something? Like, what was it that triggered this moment or this time for you?
Well, I write about it in detail in my book, which I'm launching next year. But the short answer is it was an incremental series of events, mm-hmm. right? It started with me being introduced to the concept. Mm-hmm. Then I had to go execute upon the concept. Mm-hmm. And then I had to do it for a long enough period of time for it to work. Most people aren't willing to be that patient, right? It took me 5 years of giving everything away and getting nothing in return and going really, really broke in the process mm-hmm. before I'd helped enough people where they wanted to help me back.
Got it.
That's where very few people have the staying power, the stamina
yeah,
to do it, because it's really discouraging when mm-hmm. you feel like you're spending all your time helping others and getting nothing in return. So you really have to have a committed path. So went through that. Then the thing that's most interesting is I didn't realize how full of shit I was. Because here I am out there telling everybody that I'm there just to help them. Uh-huh. But deep, if I was really being honest, deep in the recesses of my brain, Jenny knows what I'm talking about, you're sort of still keeping track. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You kind of got the tally mark.
And you're like, dang it, dude, I helped that person 6 times and they don't even call me back. Well, what's that all about? And so for me, that was the inauthenticity. Mm-hmm. So I hired a personal coach mm-hmm. and my personal coach helped me see that I was just a charlatan, mm-hmm. right? I was doing good things, but my motives underneath them were the same manipulative behavior I'd done before. It was just a different mousetrap. Mm-hmm. And so for me, once I saw that and saw how ugly it was that I was behaving, I wasn't even aware of it.
Right.
Right. I was that deep in the recesses of my brain. I buried it, I think.
Yeah.
But when I saw that, I said, that's ugly. That's not what I want to be like. I have no interest in being that. Screw it. I'm just going to go all in. Now that I see that, I'm going to be pure. And so I stopped keeping track. I just said, I'm just going to love and serve everyone regardless. And that was where the moment changed.
Love it.
And that for me, and I've never looked back, right? I started in my I am statements every morning. I started saying, I am pure service. And my ex-wife was like, dude, you're not for service. that's laughable. And I go, I know, but I'm creating that for myself. Like, that's who I'm going to live into. I'm going to live into somebody that all they care about is helping people. And what is so freaking cool is back when I was trying to convince everybody I was a neat guy, people didn't like me that much. Mm-hmm. Now that I don't even care if people like me or not, and I try to help them as much as possible, people say the nicest things about me. I don't even think most of them are true. But they're so nice, you know? And so it's like, I think that's what the world needs. The world needs enough fighting. Let's mm-hmm. just, let's all try to just help each other. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there's not real reasons for disagreement. I'm not living in the clouds. Sure. Right? I'm a commercial estate brokerage, right? Deals have to get done. People need space. Timelines matter. But if you have a mindset of whatever interaction I'm in, how do I focus on what does that person need?
Yep.
And I don't think most people listen well enough or care enough mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, in any interaction, I'm thinking, what are the three takeaways? Mm-hmm. So I better probe. I better listen. I better really try to be present and think, in this interaction, what are three things that I can take away that I can meaningfully, materially help this person? Here's the catch. That doesn't also benefit me.
Yeah.
Not like, okay, I'm going to do this and this and this because I want them to hire me.
Right.
It's what are the three selfless things I could do?
Absolutely.
And so that was what I spent so much time doing over the years. And that's what we've now taken the entire organization. Mm-hmm. And we're not perfect. We got our own flaws, right? We're building the airplane as we fly. We're growing mm-hmm. so darn fast. But everything culturally is about how do we help each other? And that starts internally. So for me, from a selfless leadership standpoint, my clients are the people at Kaiser. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's how we've scaled. I can't ask somebody to go through 5 years of being broke. That's not a very attractive recruiting message.
Right.
But I had done all of the hard work in building that. And so it was taking all these people and saying, it's all yours. Mm-hmm. Everything that I've created is yours. I'm here to support you. I'm here to help you be successful. And that's what I've been able to grow. And nobody does that, right? When you're at a traditional firm, absolutely, you're the senior big badass broker and you got all the big deals and you push the little ones down to the mm-hmm. young guys and you kind of beat them down as long as you can until they rise up eventually. Mm-hmm. We have the opposite model. Yep. Everything's about push as much across the table. Sometimes, you know, it's not always a ROI, but that's not the point. The point is we're building and investing in people. And over the long term, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation with you.
Absolutely.
If I hadn't helped and done that.
Yep. And I think that for me, especially, this is so refreshing, this conversation, because this is like the core of my belief system. And I know it is for the both of you and the majority of that population outside the studio today, that's not how business is run and done. So this little fraction, this 1-3% that thinks like this and attracts like this, and it's about our people and it's about how do we selflessly serve others so that everybody wins and we can all lock arms and cross the finish line together. How do we create that? And I love seeing that in both of your spaces. While they have some similarities, obviously many differences as well, but thank you for doing what you do, because that is, it's not only unique, but it's a breath of freaking fresh air.
Thank you. Can I respond to that real quick?
Yeah.
Thank you. And I always want the message to come back to this, because this is what I think is lost. Yes, I'm altruistically minded, mm-hmm. but this is not altruism I'm talking about. This is smart business strategy. Mm-hmm. My business grows more the more I love and serve others. It's literally that simple. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of I'm some good guy, no, I mean, I want to be, but mm-hmm. that's not the point for me. And thank you for the kind words. The point to me is this is what any smart person should do that wants long-term sustainable success. Mm-hmm. Because all we have is people, mm-hmm. right? What Jenny spends her time is investing in others. Mm-hmm. She's giving of her life energy to many people. Mm-hmm. And over time, the world cannot handle an imbalance, and that comes back. And that's what I've experienced. So we get so many referrals that we don't have to go present. People go, I appreciate so much of what you did for my grandmother, son, daughter, business, whatever, sure. spouse. Would you come help us on the real estate side? And we go in and we don't have to spend all that time trying to convince them how great we are. Right. I don't want to do that anyways. Right. Right?
They're chasing you.
They're chasing me, which is unbelievable if you think about it. So I talk less about me, mm-hmm. and less asked, like we're on this program. Mm-hmm. I spend as much time as possible trying to see how I can push value to somebody else. And somehow business reigns on us. Mm-hmm. That's my message. My message is, this isn't me doing it so that I can get on shows and sound cool. This is me trying to show the world that this is possible. I don't care what industry you're in. if you focus on strategically, mm-hmm. right? Like there's this really good book by Adam Grant called Give and Take. And it divides people into three different categories, givers, matchers, and takers. Now, the interesting thing about the book is it describes that the givers are at the both opposite ends of the success spectrum. They're both the most successful and they're the least successful. And the book solves for why. And it basically says those that can't say no are the least successful, because typically it's the takers that are just trying to take. So this is not a, hey, if you're selfless service, you just got to help. No, selfless service has to be a choice. If it's not a choice, it's a mandate. Mm-hmm. And a mandate's not service, right? It's a job. It's an obligation. It's a duty. So we're not describing that. On the other side of the coin, it's if you look at every interaction and say in those interactions, how do I help that person? And how do I just worry about me last and say, what does that person need? That is such a unique experience in this world mm-hmm. that it changes the way that they look at you. It differentiates you from your competition and from the rest of the business community. And so for me, this whole conscious capitalism movement is immersed in this idea that this isn't just doing good so we can do good in the world and feel good about it. This is doing good because we think it makes you the most competitive. And especially when you're talking about Gen Zers coming down the pike and even the millennial generation, those folks, they want impact. Mm-hmm. They are not into the corporate hierarchy, you know, that we grew up with and the X generation that I'm from. Yeah. And so if you're not focused on your people, you're going to have a rude awakening when your talent walks out your door. And that's what everything is about in today's world. So again, it's not to be long-winded, but I think the point is so important that what I'm trying to show people is this is strategic. Mm-hmm. This is smart business. This is the reason why I win, not something I do on the side to show altruism. Mm-hmm. And hey, maybe you could do it too.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that we both have in common, which is maybe where this is rooted from, is that we both come from low-income, poor families, right? Mm-hmm. My background, my parents were refugees, so I grew up in that. Not that they ever vocalized that we were poor, but you could see it, right? Like, mm-hmm. they worked all the time for very little. And I think there's something to be said. Yes, like, my mom always said, you can't take any of this with you, right? You're gonna die, so, like, give as much as you can. But also, there's nothing wrong with building wealth. Mm-hmm. And I think that needs to be said a lot. There's a lot to giving, like, and I did the same thing. First 5 years of Cahoots, like I didn't pay myself anything, right? Mm-hmm. But I could do that because I had built a sustainable business somewhere else, yes. right? And so there's a level of, you know, I look at the generation that's coming out of school with a ton of debt and then thinking that they can go out and just give their entire lives away. And it's like, oh my gosh, like the only way that I think we were probably both able to do it is we lowered our debt and we were really smart with our decisions. And that gave us the flexibility to do these really cool things and be agile and say, hey, you know what? Like, I remember what it felt like when somebody gave me this amazing gift. I want to give you an amazing gift, and just remembering that feeling, mm-hmm. but being really strategic with who you're helping.
Yes.
Because you're right, like, you can't say yes to everybody. And I was in a very, like, I think in the beginning, I was in that stage of yes, 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 yes. And now, like, I have a family, mm-hmm. I have obligations. Like, I also want to build wealth, right? Like, I do a lot and I also deserve a lot. And I think there's something to be said about that. I think a lot of women and a lot of people of color live in this structure of guilt mm-hmm. by building wealth, right? Like the idea that you got a job or that you're rising in the ranks. I think a lot of cultural norms say that that's not okay because mm-hmm. we've lived in the society of like the struggle. Like you should always be struggling because this is life. Right. But at some point, like that's not fair.
Right.
Right. Like, right. Because doesn't most have to be that people way. Don't think that way. Mm-hmm. And it took me a really long time to kind of realize that. And I don't know how long it took you to realize that, like, giving is one thing, but strategic giving is another mm-hmm. thing. And creating boundaries to that. Cause there are so many people out there that will take advantage of you, especially when you get to that point where you can give a lot. And so kind of just thinking about, like, who is worth giving your time to, right? And for me, it's been a lot around, I think, internally identifying that, like, my journey in all of this, identifying that I grew up in a and a family from very diverse backgrounds and mm-hmm. that also lived through a lot of struggle. And how could we help a lot of those people? Because those ideas are amazing, mm-hmm. right? Like if you had not grown up the way that you grew up, Jonathan, you probably wouldn't be, would have the grit or the strength or to get through any
no
of
doubt.
The things.
No doubt.
Right. And I think that's obviously an important part of the journey, but learning from that, like understanding that you only have so much time in your life. Mm-hmm. So be really smart about who you spend that with. And like, I have a huge force field around drama. So mm-hmm. the minute like drama hits my community or hits any of the relationships, I'm like, nope, not worth it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like this is not where I want to spend my time or my money. And I have a family like those. I think that was your original question too. Right? Like, how do we juggle the family piece? Well, but like, that's a big part of it.
But it is. And to your point about the drama, I mean, we only have X amount of hours. Mm-hmm. And for all of us in the studio today that are, you know, type A driver, get things done, make an impact, you know, serve others, raise good human beings, you know, leave the world better. So how do you both do that? Because you sit on boards and you have foundations and you, you know, have massive companies and all these people that look to you and want to be you when they grow up. So what is it that you do to help maintain your sanity through that, but also cut out the drama and put your time and attention where it needs to be? How do you guys do that?
I worked really hard to get very close to as close as possible to zero debt. And that's like a way that I want to live because I grew up very poor, mm-hmm. right? We always had money for the things that we really needed, mm-hmm. but I always saw the correlation of like work and what you're going to spend very clearly at a very young age and knew that, like Jonathan, I wanted to get out of that, right? Like when I graduated school, I said, I want to work for a company because I don't want to deal with not having the stability. What I realized really quickly was that actually isn't very stable. And, you know, in a week I lost my job and everything that came with that and didn't know what I was going to do and quickly picked myself up. But so with that, like, I think about where I want to spend most of my time and I have a daughter. And for a very long time, I felt a lot of guilt with not, you know, you see your friends who are stay-at-home moms or you see your friends who look like they have it all put together. And I'm sure they probably see me that way too. And I would feel a lot of guilt for not being there. Mm-hmm. But I then thought about how I grew up and how I got to live in the business of our restaurant, you know, mm-hmm. that I grew up in. I got to see my parents hustle and I got to learn those skills that I don't think any of my peers really got to learn. So I got to go through a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And I think reframing the situation is huge. Mm-hmm. I bring my daughter to work a lot of times, right? She's a big part of our community. All of the moms in our space love it. So I have inherently built a babysitting group within our community. Yep. I also have just a lot of great support. We don't have family here, but like a ton of friends who are very much in the same position. And so we try to coordinate as much as we can in supporting each other. And then, I mean, to be completely honest, I don't think we have everything figured out, right? Like the dream is to scale Kahoot. I have no idea how we're going to do that with having one child. And I want to have another child at another mm-hmm. point too. Maybe not actually carry, because that really sucks, carrying a child. But I grew up in a family with three children and I want a bigger family as well. I don't know. I don't have the answers for how you juggle it. I don't think there is an answer. I think you just, like most entrepreneurial problems or problems that you run across, you figure it out as you go.
Absolutely.
But for sure, having a very strong tribe that's mm-hmm. constantly cheering for you mm-hmm. and like knows that you're putting in the effort. And I think it's the same thing that Jonathan was saying. If you put your energy and give first, mm-hmm. if that's your mentality, mm-hmm. It always kind of comes around. So in those big hurdle periods, people see it and we first had our baby, we had like a whole line of people bringing us food, right? Yep. Anytime I had to go into a meeting and bring her to Cahoots, there was more than enough arms there to carry her.
Yeah. Amazing how that happens. Those open arms happen, whether it's an infant or not, it's just the mindset. And you're continually building this amazing community, yet the community also flocks to you. So, I mean, again, talking about reaping and sowing, I love it.
I wish that there were policy changes that could support, you know, as an entrepreneur and honestly, like parents. I don't know how working parents pick up their kids every day at 3:30 when they work a normal job, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the normal time that kids get out. And there's not even pre-K structured into mm-hmm. our normal system. So like, how do working, normal working, middle class, lower middle class families do that? I have no idea. And I'm lucky enough to have live and work within 5 miles of where everything is, and then sure. have people that can pick her up. But I think that's where my heart kind of goes, is like, we've been so fortunate to get as far as we've gotten. How do we help everybody else kind of get closer to that?
Yep.
But it's a lot of work. I'm not running for anything in the future. So I'm just going to cheerlead and help whoever's going to run.
Yeah, exactly. But support them.
Those are big changes that need to happen in order for us to be successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How about you?
I'm going to take a little different spin on it. Number one, I agree with everything you just said, Jenny. I think it was very, very well stated. For me, it all comes down to two main things. Number one is personal improvement. And that's working on yourself.
Preach it, brother.
I mean, that is, you know, my drug of choice is self-improvement. It's, and that's not always fun because it requires you looking at yourself honestly and finding those ugly spots, just like I did when I realized I was full of shit. And so I find that all the time. So for me, I'm addicted to that. And I have an executive coach that I meet with every week. I read constantly. I have personal I am statements that I create myself around. We have them for the family. We have, each kid has one. So for me, the first part is the more that I work on my state of being, the more that I work on who I am and upgrading that constantly, the better my life becomes, the better my relationships, the better my success. Everything that I touch then improves as I go JK 2.0, JK 3.0, et cetera. So that's kind of the first piece. The second piece on the family side is it's unbelievable to me how many people see me with my four kids and say, oh my God, how do you do it? Oh my. And I look at them and I go, are you kidding me? This is the best thing that's ever happened to me and I want more. And it like kind of shocks them. Like everybody's so used to griping about how hard it is to raise kids. I'm not saying it's not hard. But for me, it's the greatest joy. So the second point is this integrated life. I've told people for many, many years, I'm a very imbalanced person intentionally, right? I'm not golfing every weekend. I have no interest in that. What I'm doing is I'm integrating my business and my personal life, as you just described beautifully, in a way where nothing is really ever work to me. I'm just playing all the time. So being a parent is not like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. I'm now in my parenting time and oh my gosh, I can't believe they're out of line. It's like, no, this is my life and it's integrated and I don't see any difference between that. It's all one life and I prioritize very intentionally, right? My family and my company. I don't really have a lot of time for other things other than taking care of myself, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And so that for me is the joy. The joy is I have an integrated life where I'm not looking at it as one is taking away from the other. If I go to my child's spring concert, I'm not going, oh my gosh, I'm not in the office. I should. It's like, it's all part of my life. It's just another thing to do. And when you're prioritized, it's easy to say no to those things that would disrupt your priorities. And so I work harder than most people I've ever met. And I'm more involved as a dad than most people I've ever met. And it feels easy. Not like easy, it's easy, but it doesn't feel like this, oh my gosh, how do I do it? You know,
not this internal conflict.
Right. And how do you build this company? And also, how do you have these kids? And oh my gosh, aren't you stressed out? Well, stress doesn't come from that. Stress is an internal thing that you decide what your state of mind is going to be. So one of my I am statements, one of the things that I live by is everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. Flat tire. Gift, right? I don't know why, but it's a gift. When my ex-wife left, that's a gift. You know, everything is a gift, even when it comes packaged in a pile of crap. And so that way I can just sit back and love what is. So one of my IMs is what I need is given to me precisely when I need it. So I'm utterly peaceful and trusting in the present moment. Because being an entrepreneur and being a parent are two of the most stepping out in blind faith things you've ever done. Who knows what tomorrow brings? And so, but most people as an entrepreneur or as a parent bring so much stress and anxiety and fear for the future. I don't have time for any of that nonsense in my world. My world is about How do I be the most magnificent me possible in every situation, including when I'm being a parent, including when I'm being in a fight, no matter what it is, how do I be the very best I could be being human, not pretending to be better than I am, mm-hmm. not trying to project some artificial, like, holier than thou concept. That's the opposite of what I want. I want to be authentic. I want to be real. And I also want to be completely and utterly okay with who I am. Mm-hmm. And that allows me to bring no, like, insecurity, mm-hmm. no judgment, mm-hmm. right? Imagine coming from a place where you have no judgment. I'm not there yet, but man, I'm close, because I love everything and everyone. Now, and then there's times when I fall away from that, and mm-hmm. then I got to get myself back onto that train, mm-hmm. right? But to live in that way makes it all simple, fun, and easy. Mm-hmm. That's another one of my ams, right? Mm-hmm. Life is simple, fun, and easy. Why is it simple, fun, and easy? Because I decided it's going to be simple, fun, and easy, and I create that. Mm-hmm. And no matter what happens, I say, oh, that's simple, fun, and easy. Mm-hmm. Even when it looks like, holy crap, what am I going to do there?
Have you always been the eternal optimist?
No. Uh-uh. I used to pride myself on being the pessimist. I could point out all the areas this could go wrong. But yeah. Man, I didn't like that. I didn't like how my life showed up for me when that was the lens I was looking through. So yep. When I get up in the morning, I put on my lens.
Conscious choice.
Yep. And I see a lot of people that run around being victims. Mm-hmm. And I used to be that victim. Mm-hmm. I'm not a victim anymore.
Yeah.
I take full ownership of my life. I take full ownership of my happiness. I take full ownership for everything.
Yep.
And then I come from a place of, like, I hold on to things very loosely, mm-hmm. right? If a bomb hit Kaiser right now while I was here and all my people died and all my business went away, cool. I mean,
You're the lucky one that didn't die.
That would be sad. That'd be sad on one hand. I'd miss all those people, but imagine what I could create next. You know, it's like that mindset of like, I'm not ever going to get into this victim negative mode. And so a lot of the reason why people like being at our firm is because that positivity, mm-hmm. that acceptance and embracing permeates everything Absolutely. That we do.
Yep. And there's not that attachment to the outcome.
Exactly.
You know, it's just, it is what it is. And we just exactly. keep working through it.
Perfectly
well, I want to ask, because I know this is going to be so much fun. Each Leadership Lowdown show, I ask a series of questions that originally came from a French talk show. And they're fun. And
do you have to answer
I'm
in French?
Scared. No, you do not have to answer in French. However, they're really, really fun. And, whatever comes to your mind, of course. I mean, you guys aren't going to be overthinking this anyway. But anyhow, this is a little tradition that we do. So I'm going to start out with
Make him
one.
Go first.
Okay, I'll start with Jonathan. Sir. Okay. What is your favorite word?
My favorite word.
Ooh, we stumped him.
Probably love.
Oh, yeah.
How about you, Jenny?
Oh, I get this too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys get the same.
Gosh. I think my favorite creation.
Oh, I love that.
We can build anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, I see so much similarity with you two. I love it. The energy is amazing. So how about your least favorite word?
No.
probably negativity.
Yeah.
And the only other one I would say is in our family, we have a one of our family IMs is we don't say I can't. Uh-huh. So I have zero tolerance for the word can't.
Yeah.
If I hear can't, I go, whoa, what was that? Even to my, you know, 7-year-old daughter was like, but Dad, I can't tie my shoe. We're like, what do we say?
Exactly. I hear you loud and clear on that one. Love it. So what turns you each on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally? You pick.
I love solving problems. Mm-hmm. Like, I get this weird high when, like, I've fixed something.
Okay.
I'm the type of person that walks into a room and was like, hey, there's that sitting on the floor that shouldn't be there. There's like a weird spot over there. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go paint it.
Yeah.
And then I feel this joy of like checking boxes of like, yeah. I did that.
There's a completion element that feels really satisfying.
Or I helped that. I moved this thing forward.
Awesome.
And that. I think that's something that's learned. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't think that I've always had that.
Okay. Interesting.
I think it's over time just solving these little things and feeling like you can accomplish anything. Right.
And probably builds on one another.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. How about you, Jonathan?
I would say two things. Well, number one is I love learning. Mm-hmm. And typically when it's a negative thing about myself, so uh-huh. it really excites me, even though it sucks, uh-huh. is when I meet with my coach and I see another area that I like am a loser in and I go, oh my gosh,
progress.
I can't believe
potential
I didn't
for
see
progress.
It. And so for me to be able to actually see a blind spot and do mm-hmm. something about it is extraordinarily satisfying mm-hmm. personally to me. But the thing that you know, I always think about my dearest mother, who is just pure love and service. There's nothing that gives me more joy in the world than connecting with another human being through love and acceptance. Mm-hmm. I can't even describe the feeling. Most people have way too much in the way to be able to do that, way mm-hmm. too much judgments of themselves or somebody else. But to be with somebody from a pure, pure place and just love them, mm-hmm. the love that flows through you, mm-hmm. you know, it's like if you put, I always tell my kids something, some version of this. If you put a bunch of toothpaste in your mouth and then spit it on somebody, mm-hmm. you might get a lot of toothpaste on that person, but you still got a bunch of toothpaste in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And so whatever energy we're directing at other people, if it's anger or judgment, whatever, that comes through us. And so it affects us, mm-hmm, right? It stays mm-hmm. with us.
Yep.
So for me to be in pure love to someone else, I feel the best.
Yeah.
I probably feel better than they do.
Right.
And so
right.
I absolutely love loving on other people.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But it's kind of selfish because it makes me feel better than they feel.
Yeah. It's a win-win. It's both. I love it. So what turns you each off?
Negativity.
Oh, back to negativity. Yeah. Anyone just...
Negativity.
Yeah,
I'm pretty much the same. Any yeah. kind of drama.
Yeah. That's right. Your drama bubble.
Yeah. Illogical. And everybody has feelings. And I try to, sometimes my husband says I'm a robot, but the like emotions that come with it, like I try to like relate, but a lot of times I'm just like, that's tough, right? Yeah. And I think I could probably learn a lot from Jonathan and all of his love. But it's just so much and it's exhausting. And again, I'm just like, we have so much to do in this world, yep. right? Like, yep. If we can just move forward, mm-hmm. that's all I want. I want to like solve problems. Mm-hmm. I want to make an impact on this world. I want to be able to live happily. I want to be able to go out for a nice steak dinner when I want to and not yeah. worry about the bill.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I see it. Something on our calendar popping yeah. up here soon. I love it.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. So
the drama.
Here's the big one. What's your favorite curse word? You're allowed to say
it. But my mom's listening.
It's okay, Mom.
Really?
Okay, Mom.
That's sweet.
Mrs. Kaiser, please cover your ears at this moment. Go, Jonathan.
I just love the F word. Yeah. It is so fun.
Uh-huh.
Mom, I was talking about fun.
Yeah, the F word being fun. Love it. How about you, Jenny?
I like fucker, but I also have a t-shirt that says Hoot Hoot Motherfucker on it, so that's kind of my favorite.
That's awesome.
Most popular Cahoots t-shirt that we sell.
I think I need to invest in one of those. I need one of those for sure. What sound or noise do you love?
I squeal a lot.
You squeal.
I do that.
That's your
when
excited.
I get really excited. Yeah.
Awesome. So you know yeah. it's a good feeling and a good mm-hmm. sound. I love it. I love it. Jonathan, do you have one?
I love it when my kids laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Just that deep,
the belly like, laugh,
guttural laugh uh-huh. where they can't even constrain it. That's yeah. probably my favorite.
Yeah,
sound.
Your favorite. Yeah. So what sound or noise do you hate?
You know how they make glass cutting boards now? Have you seen that?
Okay, yeah.
So I hate the sound of knives on the glass cutting board ooh, for some reason. It's kind of like chalkboard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, interesting.
I don't know.
Somebody we once had someone talking about styrofoam. It might have been, a few shows ago. And he's like, oh, just styrofoam against styrofoam. I'm like, that's really unusual. But yeah, that's yeah. so pleasant. How about you, Jonathan?
I'm going to be difficult here. I have chosen to not hate anything.
Right.
So if I'm thinking about the thing I love the least uh-huh. would probably be television.
Okay.
Or how about Trump's voice? Whoops.
Did that slip out? Yeah, there's sounds and noises for sure. So television. Okay, so you're not a big TV guy.
No, I love shows, mm-hmm. but I don't like commercials. I don't love all the stuff, the clutter.
Mm-hmm.
That mm-hmm. fills up and distracts the mind from yeah. being in greatness.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the TV in the background. Yep. And it's, I don't like that.
Just that constant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got it.
And it's a lot of it's really negative.
Yeah.
And dramatic.
Yep.
You know? Oh,
yeah. Like out of the that. Drama bubble. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Well, this one's easy because okay. I'm starting a family business. So all my, I've been thinking for a long time, what can I do as a family so that we have a family business that we do and we do it at our own pace, but all the kids can be involved and it doesn't have to be all my kids becoming commercial real estate brokers, et cetera. Right. And so we decided recently that we're going to create, so we created Kaiser around 15 core operating principles.
Uh-huh.
We all have our family, I am statements that we articulate every morning as a family. And so what we're doing is one of the things I do at night is I love to tell stories to my kids, and I just tend to have a very creative brain. And so I can just come up with stuff on the fly. And so we decided to start taking those stories and turning them into books and podcasts and having my kids and my mom and my dad all be involved and my fiance in building this, we're calling it the Kaiser Kids. And so we're going to do books. We're going to do podcasts. We create these characters and we go through these different worlds. And so just like this fun thing where we're going to, and then in the future we'll do movies, and then we'll do, you know, eventually I can see a Kaiser Kingdom being a big theme park. We have all of our rides and all of our characters. So the long game for me is, you know, I'm not going anywhere within Kaiser, but to have a family business that involves all of that kind of stuff is going to be fun.
If anyone listening is not inspired by your big picture thinking and your dream space, they don't have a pulse.
I'm with you. We sit around this life and we complain and we bitch and we moan and we waste it. I'm going to grab every second and I'm going to squish all the fun out of it.
You got it. Absolutely. I hear you loud and clear.
Meanwhile, I want to be a carpenter.
Plumbing is my forte.
The creation. That's another form of creation for you.
I actually have a list of trades that I want to learn how to do. I want to learn how to weld. I want to learn how to do carpentry.
Glass blowing?
I've done glass blowing.
Okay.
I want to learn how to lay carpet. And that's not any kind of...
Yeah, no sexual reference. Nope. I got it. I'm sorry. If anyone could see our faces in the studio, we all just turned as red as the walls. Anyhow.
But yeah, I have a list of things that I just want to learn. But usually they're outside of a computer.
Okay.
I'm in front of a computer
a lot. Just something completely, completely different. Love it. What profession would you not care to do? Dun, dun, dun.
Carpentry.
No, really?
No hammer and nails.
I like living in the big picture, man, to try to like take a bunch of wood pieces and hammer them together. Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the release, the like stress, I guess you don't have any stress. You've figured that out.
No. I'm not some perfect dude. If anybody thought I said that, I did not say that. But that's a state I choose to come from as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
how about you, Jenny?
Not that.
I probably wouldn't want to be in any kind of public speaking policy role.
Although you'd be good
never
at
say
it.
Never, right. But I feel like, well, I wouldn't want to ever campaign for an elected seat.
I'm going to change my answer. Probably. That's okay. The same for me too.
Yeah.
People say all the time, "Oh, you should run for office," and that sounds horrible.
Right.
The running part.
Instantly becoming hated by half the population.
Yeah.
That's too much negativity for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back to the negativity.
Yeah. If you could just apply, and it's like a Scantron test of like you made it or not.
That would be a whole different thing. Yeah. It's the whole campaigning process.
Yeah.
It's not.
I can read bills and decide if they're good or not.
Yeah. I love it. If heaven exists, this is our last one. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Again, I'm difficult. I think we create our heaven or hell every single day.
Yep.
And so for me, it's, I'm not waiting for someone else to tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that I maximized my time and that I loved as much as possible. So when I'm gone, whatever that means, I want to be known for being a spirit of pure love. And I think of anything you could ever aspire towards, that is the highest calling.
I agree wholeheartedly.
And so success, the definitions of that very wildly. For me, success is how much did I love and how much did I help others? And at the end of the day, that is what I want to be known for. But I also don't want to have like a bunch of, I don't need the credit because it almost takes away some of the purity of it.
Right.
So I don't want a bunch of statues or
I don't
need that stuff. I don't really even want it unless it helps somebody else, you know, but to be known for love.
Love it. How about you?
I think the same. I don't know if I believe in heaven, but I do think same thing. If we can maximize everything that we're doing here, and at the end of the day, it's a legacy that we're building. Mm-hmm. If my daughter can like walk around this city and be like, gosh, like our family was a part of making this city really cool and awesome, and that we were on the forefront of like the future of how work is created, and that, you know, I see the future of this like next generation of entrepreneurs or honestly, people who are entering the workforce all having an entrepreneurial spirit to them. Mm-hmm. And having my daughter be able to say that, like, we were a part of building that kind of culture here, not just within our space, but across the city, mm-hmm. Because we were very early in adopting that. And a part of building culture is that it goes beyond physical walls. Mm-hmm. And so being able to say that, but I think if there really was a heaven and I went up there and I actually made it into heaven, I think you would probably say, like, how would you like your steak?
And what would you answer?
Medium rare. Yes.
And onions and mushrooms on top, please.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. I'm blown away by the two of you because, you talk about your children walking around this city or your child, walking around this city and it's already that. I mean, your collective five children, you are that already in this community. And whether they're old enough to see that at this point or not, the legacies that you're both individually leaving, not just to those children, but to our community is such a gift. So I thank you both. For our listeners that are saying, oh my gosh, how do I learn more, get in touch with these guys, or what's the best way for them to reach out to each of you?
Cahoots.com.
Okay.
CoHoots.com.
Okay.
And you can email me directly. It's Jenny@cahoots.com.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
KeyserCo, KeyserCo.com. And email is probably the best for me, JK@KeyserCo.com.
Awesome. And I'm going to ask one last, and this is like lightning round.
Yeah.
One last quick question.
Yeah.
What's the best leadership tip you can share with our listeners? Best thing you ever learned. Quick. Lightning round.
And you don't get to say love.
Love.
Best tip.
You can.
Leaders eat last. Lead by example.
Love it.
Yeah, I think always give first. If you give first and that's your mentality, then whatever happens is always going to, I think this is Jonathan's mantra, but that if your mentality is give first, that the bright things are going to follow.
I love it. Give first, eat last. With that, thank you both so much.
Thank you for
what you're doing.
Thank you. And to highlight businesses that care. Thanks for doing what
Absolutely.
You're doing.
I love it. This is my joy and passion. So I thank you both for making time out of your crazy busy lives and schedules to share your insights with our listeners. And you have been listening to the Leadership Lowdown, hosted by myself, Jody Lowe, and powered by You and Improved and Conscious Capitalism Arizona. And at You and Improved, we are insanely passionate about partnering with companies' leadership to develop their most valuable asset, which is, of course, their people. And to learn more about our personal and professional development classes and programs, feel free to visit us at youandimproved.com, or you can contact me at Jody, Jodi, @youandimproved.com. Thank you again for listening, and we look forward to talking with you all soon.